The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Venaria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
855-839-1210 on X at Rich Zeoli. If you missed it earlier in the show, we had a couple great guys on who were the guys who confronted Larry Krasner in the park. And that interview podcast for you, we'll also put it on socials, obviously, so you can take a look at it. Krasner's a jerk and was incredibly rude to them, still using fascist and Hitler and everything else like you'd expect from Larry Krasner. So that was a lot of fun earlier in the show, and you definitely take a listen to it. On the issue of Israel and Gaza, the president has said, we can get this done. I got a 20-point peace plan here, and Israel's on board. We need Hamas to go along with it and release the hostages. And if they don't, then Israel's got the green light to go after them. And Israel can do that, and there you go. Also this hour, I want to get into a new op-ed that was published at FoxNews.com, co-written by my buddy, Dr. Victoria Coates, about the Chinese flag flying at Philadelphia City Hall. We're going to talk about that this hour as well, because it's insane to me that they would do this. But then again, it's not insane because it's Philadelphia. So show has been a mix of national and local. And I do have more to say on the whole Mikey Sherrill Chitterelli thing. And we'll get into all that as this hour continues as well. But one thing I do want to mention as well is that let's not forget Joe Biden, and I know that he's gone and he might be at the beach in Delaware building sandcastles, but there still is a question and an investigation going on regarding Joe Biden's mental decline. And Democrat Senator John Ossoff, who was on Pod Save America, he didn't talk about Biden's mental decline. Let's cue up cut number four. He didn't want Trump to win. So I have to wonder how many other Democrats like this were in this boat. How many other Democrats were out there? And we're the ones out there saying over and over again, I know Biden's bad. I know he can't do the job. I know the guy's lost his freaking marbles, but I don't want Trump to win, so I'm not going to say anything about it. Here's Democrat Senator John Ossoff, cut number four.
We just didn't listen to the mounds and mounds of data that was out there.
I think that, like, the most brutally honest answer to that question is, you know, when you're facing the specter of Donald Trump potentially being reelected to the presidency, and you have in the sitting president the presumptive nominee, it's understandable that you're not going to be inclined to do or say things that might weaken that presumptive nominee
right.
against Trump,
right.
given the threat that he posed and poses. But
so you see that they wouldn't do anything about it. They wouldn't say anything about it. They just wouldn't do it. And this is the thing. I mean, this is how many other Democrats covered for them? How many other Democrats covered for them, for him during all those years? How many? I bet you a lot. And it's disgraceful and shameful that the Democrat Party hid what was his obvious decline because they were so afraid of Donald Trump. Why? Because they knew that Donald Trump was going to take a sledgehammer to the deep state and come after these people for weaponizing government. Yeah, people like Comey, who weaponized the government against him and all of us, and lied and created scandals and went after innocent Americans and weaponized government, spied on them, and they had to cover all that up. They had to protect all that. So they lied about Biden's. They knew how bad he was. They knew how bad it was. Period. And the president today, I want to play a clip of what he wants to do with regards to Israel and Gaza and peace. This is cut number 24. He talked about this. A new international oversight body, a board of peace, so to speak, because obviously the UN hates Israel and hates Jews and has been completely anti-Semitic. So how this will work out, here's the president from today, cut 24.
To ensure the success of this effort, my plan calls for the creation of a new international oversight body, the Board of Peace, we call it, the Board of Peace, sort of a beautiful name, the Board of Peace, which will be headed not at my request, believe me, I'm very busy, but we have to make sure this works. The leaders of the Arab world and Israel and Everybody involved asked me to do this, so it would be headed by a gentleman known as President Donald J. Trump of the United States. That's what I want, is some extra work to do, but it's so important that I'm willing to do it, and we'll do it right, and we're going to put leaders from other countries on, and leaders that are very distinguished leaders, and we'll have a board, and one of the people that wants to be on the board is the UK former Prime Minister, Tony Blair, good man, very good man, and some others, and they'll be named over the next few days, and it'll be quite the board. Working, everybody wants to be on it now.
All right, thank you for that. And some breaking news, too, as well this hour, and that is that YouTube, which you might be streaming the show on YouTube, and thank you for doing so, and subscribe and like it as well. YouTube and Google, the parent company of YouTube, is going to pay $24.5 million to settle a lawsuit that U.S. President Donald Trump brought against the company over the suspension of his account following January the 6th, the high holy day of the left. He filed lawsuits against Twitter, which is now known as X, and Facebook and Meta, as well as Google, alleging they unlawfully silenced conservative viewpoints. They have now agreed to settle that. Meta and X agreed earlier this year to settle those lawsuits. $22 million will be paid on Trump's behalf to the Trust for the National Mall, a nonprofit organization dedicated to construction of a $200 million ballroom that the president is building at the White House. The rest of the settlement payment will go to other plaintiffs in the case, including the American Conservative Union. That's a very big deal. And another victory for freedom of speech against these tyrants who, as we know, and this is what came out last week, were pressured by the Biden administration to silence conservative voices. We know this. YouTube said as much. Google said as much. Pressured by the Biden administration to silence you, to silence me, to silence President Trump. And all of these things. Yeah, so that's good. That's a big win. That's excellent. All right, I got a lot more to get to. I want to, as I continue along the show here, I just want to mention that Dr. Mike Veneria, great friend, great dentist. Why is he my friend and my dentist? Because Mama Zioli recommended him. That's why. Mama Zioli recommended him, and so I trust Mama Zioli. And I ran into somebody the other day who said, you know what, because of Mama Zioli's recommendation, I went with Dr. Mike Veneria. And I said, that's great. That's fantastic. I think it's wonderful. So go with Dr. Mike. For 12 years, 12 consecutive years in a row, he has been recognized as a master of dental implants, the master of making you look and feel your absolute best. And other dentists have sent their patients to Dr. Mike. That's right. Other dentists have sent their patients to Dr. Mike for the really complicated stuff, dental implants and those veneers and caps and crowns and all this stuff. So if you need complicated dental work, do you go to the closest dentist? No, you go to the best. You don't go to some pop-up chain dental office. You go to my guy, Dr. Mike Veneria. And he gave my wife, Bridget, a beautiful, beautiful smile recently. I mean, her smile was already beautiful. I don't want to get in trouble here. But she needed new her veneers had to get replaced. And Dr. Mike gave her beautiful new caps. And her smile has never looked better. That's what he'll do for you. You get a free implant consultation. There's two offices for you, Cinnaminson and Woodbury. Easy to get to, both right over the bridge. And he's a great guy, great conversationalist, great music playing in the office, and wonderful people who work for him, all dedicated to the same thing, giving you that beautiful smile you deserve. So please, reach out to him today by going to VeneriaDental.com and make your free implant consultation and trust him for your smile, just like the entire Zioli family trusts Dr. Mike Veneria. He's my friend, he's my dentist, and most importantly, for 12 years in a row, the undisputed master of complex dental procedures, Dr. Mike Veneria, VeneriaDental.com.
The Rich Zioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
So the race for New Jersey governor and Jack Cittarelli and Mikey Sherrill and where all that stands and why it matters and why you should care. Welcome back. Glad you're here today. as we continue along in our fourth and final hour on what has been a long, long, crazy day for me, starting with a 7 o'clock pickup to go to New York and talk about all this on Fox News. But I also got into the Zoran Mamdani stuff, and he's a nut, as you know. And he's now the face of the Democrat Party because Eric Adams dropping out of the race does not change anything. It's too late. It's too late for them to try to stop Mamdani. So you see what I mean when I tell you that. And this is nothing to do with Curtis Sliwa, by the way. I mean, it really doesn't. It's the Democrats don't want Mamdani to be the face of the party, and he is for. That's it. I mean, he is. Whether or not, by the way, it's important to note, whether or not Democrats are able to stop him, it'll only be a short-term stop. Because the Democrat Party now is the party of Mamdani. That's who they are. It's what they've become. And they've always been that. That's the thing. They've always been the crazy party. It's just that you had a lot of very powerful forces within the Democrat Party who were able to stop them. And I mean people like the Clintons and all the other power brokers and super delegates and everybody else. They have been able to stop the Zoran Mamdanis. But go back to 2016. Bernie Sanders would have won that primary. Bernie would have won that primary had it not been for the super delegates. The superdelegates who were the ones who stopped him. And they did it again in 20, and they did it again in 2024 by making sure that Kamala Harris would be the candidate. But left to their own devices, the Democrat Party and the squad and all the lunatics and all the kooks, that's the Mamdani commie party. And their choice now is what? Between that and the LoveGov? A disgraced former governor who had to resign in shame over sex scandals that he tried to blame on his Italian heritage. A pile of bodies at nursing homes. I mean, the guy's got a kill list a mile long like freaking Dexter. That's the choice of the Democrat Party. They're in a bad spot. They're in a really, really bad spot. On the New Jersey side of the river, Mikey Sherrill's in a bad spot. The polling that came out today, which we chatted about with Rooney earlier in the show. Here's what you got to realize right now. A couple factors that are a little bit in the weeds for a 5-minute hit on Fox. So bear with me as I give you my decades-long experience in New Jersey politics. When I tell you that Jack Cittirelli has such a good chance of winning this race, it's not just because of the fact that Mikey Sherrill is a bad candidate. It's that the Democrat machine doesn't want her. The Democrat machine is very terrified that they can't control her. And they're going to lay down. And they're not going to work to get her elected. Why does that matter? Well, it matters because without the Democrat machine, she can't win. The Democrat machine in New Jersey politics is everything. And the Democrat machine in New Jersey politics is the reason why Chris Christie won in 2009. I mean, don't get me wrong. He was a strong candidate. He was a former United States attorney. He was a strong candidate. He had a lot going for him. But the Democrat machine laid down for John Corzine. They didn't want John Corzine to be reelected as governor. And Chris Christie and the Democrat machine worked together and he got elected. It's certain factors have to occur in Jersey politics in order for that to happen. And the Democrats are not excited about Mikey Sherrill. They don't like Mikey Sherrill. And this scandal around the Navy. And let's understand this because I think there's a lot of confusion about this. And this is what I tried to explain today when I was on America's Newsroom. So there was this file that was leaked about her Navy service. And I think, honestly, it was done by somebody who supports Mikey Sherrill to try to muddy the waters. I really do. It has the story, the scandal around her has nothing to do with that. Nothing to do with her Navy service, even exaggerating what rank of lieutenant and all that. That's neither here nor there. This is all about the time that she was an undergraduate at the United States Naval Academy in Annapolis. There is a academic file. There is a disciplinary file that has not been released. And the only person who can release it is Mikey Sherrill. So why isn't she? What is she hiding? That's the question. That's the question that we all have to ask ourselves. What is Mikey Sherrill hiding? Why not just release the records? There was this engineering exam that went out at the university, and somebody got it, and somebody leaked it. And her story originally was, I didn't want to be a snitch. Okay. And you know the joke that it's Jersey. Nobody likes snitches anyway. Maybe that'll help you. That's a funny joke. Good joke. But then the story changed. She actually should have stuck with that story. I just didn't want to snitch on my fellow classmates. I don't want to be a rat. All right. Violate the Naval Academy code, but whatever. You don't want to be a rat. Okay. Story changed over the weekend. It then became that Mikey Sherrill may have gotten this exam and may have gotten this exam because she thought it was a practice exam and didn't know it was the real exam. So then release your academic records, show you were never disciplined, show you're not a cheater, show you're not a liar. But the fact that her story is changing already in a matter of days tells you everything you need to know. The problem with the argument of I don't want to be a rat is that, all right, well, will you rat on your fellow Democrats? I mean, if your fellow Democrats are cheating and stealing and lying, will you rat on them or no? And then if it's not that you weren't trying to be a rat, if you were avoiding being a rat, so to speak, and you may have accidentally got a test that was the real test that you didn't know was the real test, or whatever this BS argument story is here, what does that say about your judgment? And did you cop clean? Did you come clean and admit that? Is that why they didn't let you walk at the Naval Academy? Or were you caught? Were you caught cheating? Did you cheat? What is your husband's role in all this? And why did you appoint your two kids, give them the nominations to the service academies when all these other kids out there, well-deserving students, would love to go to the United States Naval Academy or the other service academies, and you use your congressional ability to get your own kids in, saving your family hundreds of thousands of dollars a year, potentially in college, or hundreds of thousands of dollars overall in college, giving your kids an incredible leg up in life. I mean, all of these things stink to high heaven. And they say something about Mikey Sherrill that is the kind of thing that makes me feel like we have a real character problem here. Somebody that we should be very, very nervous about. And that's the reality. That's what when I tell you that is for me the biggest thing is that people have to seriously question her character and her ethics at a time when, yes, it does matter. It does matter, your ethics. You know, Dana asked me today what the biggest issue is, and I said, well, affordable housing, and then I got into the energy stuff. What about character and ethics? If I had more time, I would have dug in on this. What about character and ethics? Well, got to realize this. People may think all politicians are crooks or corrupt or whatever it is, but when it seems to benefit and enrich them is when other people turn around and go, oh, no, you're not doing this at the expense of me. So then you add to the fact that the Democrat candidate for governor of New Jersey also made millions of dollars sitting on these committees and then trading stocks on those committees. And I think the character and the integrity and all those other issues absolutely 100% matter. No question about it. Now, let's contrast that with the rhetoric the Democrats are using right now. So you know that for example, John Fetterman came out and said, we got to stop with the calling each other Nazis and everything else like this. We got to stop with the rhetoric. Has to stop. The Nazis and all the other things, and enough, like, enough is enough. Okay. What did Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Sandy from the Bronx, what did Sandy from the Bronx have to say about that? You know what she said about that? She said, John Fetterman, that's up to him. He's entitled to his opinion. So he comes out and says Democrats shouldn't call each other Nazis, and she says he's entitled to his opinion. That's where the Democrat Party is right now. Is there even a way for them to break out and be reasonable? For any of them to break out, be seen as reasonable people in this era? I don't think so. I don't think so at all. I think the problem you have is that you've got a Democrat Party that has been hijacked by lunatics. And even if you try to stand up to that, even if you try to move away from that, other Democrats will then turn around and come at you. That's it. That's it in a nutshell. Even if you're a Democrat trying to be reasonable, like John Fetterman is, and saying we can't use this rhetoric, we got to stop this, it has to stop, then other Democrats will come after you, and then you will be, you'll be ostracized by them. You want to know who the Democrat Party is today? It's Larry Krasner. The Surge Philly video, which we talked about earlier in the show, and when this guy, Larry Krasner, the district attorney of Philadelphia, has the audacity to keep calling us fascists and Nazis and invoking Hitler, this is your party. Mikey Sherrill's got to break away from that, but I don't think she can. That's why she didn't say anything to condemn Zoran Mandami. She needs the votes of all those Democrat kooks. There are not enough reasonable Democrats out there to make up the gap. There just aren't. Mamdani is about to become the face of the Democrat Party. So if you are running in a primary and you're worried running for Congress and you're worried about a primary, you got to go to your left. You got to embrace this guy. And if you're worried about a general election, then you got to go against him. But that's only if you're in a really close general and you don't have to worry about a primary, because otherwise you're going to get attacked on your left flank. You want to know who the Democrat Party is? It's this guy. It's Larry Krasner.
I'll tell you what, Frank, just keep lying. Frank, just keep lying. Oh, my, I touched your camera.
Donald Trump is a fascist.
How is Donald Trump a fascist?
Frank?
How is Donald Trump a fascist?
Frank? Did I ask you to come over and bother me when I'm sitting here drinking coffee in a park? Did I ask you to do that?
You're on public property, brother.
Oh, is that your theory?
Yes.
Frank? You're un-American, Frank.
I'm un-American.
You're anti-American.
I'm a resident of this city who cares about public safety. Why are you calling me un-American?
Because you support people who support hate. You don't understand what it means to be a fascist, what people like Adolf Hitler do, how spreading hate, which is something that, frankly, the people you admire do, gets us closer to that. This is about you.
How can you say that about
ego?
Me? Why don't you have a conversation about these things with Frank. Me? Why are you accusing me?
The reason I would talk to a 22-year-old who disrupts meetings.
Oh, so I'm to the, too young now.
The reason I would talk to a 22-year-old who knows nothing he's talking about meetings is what, Frank? You are welcome to write whatever you want in your non-existent fake paper. You're welcome to do that.
We have more views than your TikTok. We have more views than you.
I mean, that's not true either.
Your one video, that's true.
That's not even remotely true.
Your
but
one
Frank,
video,
I'll tell you what. Frank, just keep lying. Frank, just keep lying. Oh, my, I touched your camera. I'll tell you what. Why don't you let the good people of Philadelphia have meetings where you behave yourself?
Why don't you invite
the good
people of Philadelphia?
We let you in. You're actually not allowed to do this without my permission. This is the second time. I'm not going to do anything about it because I figure there's hope for even you. People
even
deserve
me?
A second chance. No matter how un-American you are, anti-American you are, I figure you deserve a second chance.
And you're a public official. Somebody should hold you accountable, which I'm doing.
By the way, why can't you talk to... Why is it illegal to confront Larry Krasner? He's not going to do anything about anything. He doesn't do anything about crime anyway, but why is it illegal to confront a public official in a public place and have a conversation with him? You're fascists, you're Nazis, you Adolf Hitler. This is who they are. This is who they are today. So you sit here and you say to yourself, are there reasonable Democrats left? No. No, there are not reasonable Democrats left. There are not any reasonable Democrats left. The party has been completely hijacked. The state of the left today, completely hijacked.
I want to talk about their politics. Would it kill somebody to get up there, not give a speech about how much they like Charlie Kirk, just to say we had a political assassination this week, and that's wrong, and they would have been booed off the stage because he was on the wrong team. So you're not even allowed to say that. Can you imagine if a left-wing person was assassinated that week? The whole show would have been about that. Is that not just true? Can't you admit that?
That Charlie Kirk assassination needs to be reframed as an issue of how our democracy actually functions and survives. We cannot be assassinating people who are different from us, who believe different things, full stop. Charlie Kirk's assassination is as bad for Democrats as it should be as it is for Republicans. It is not okay. Okay. Yeah. And everybody needs to get on that same page.
At the Emmys, would it have killed?
But his point is the Emmys didn't even acknowledge it. They didn't even acknowledge it. And that's Alex Wagner from the Pod Save America. I think how quickly were jokes made about the Charlie Kirk assassination? Just even around it. How quickly were jokes made? Within a day. Within a day, there were jokes made around the Charlie Kirk assassination. Let's just be very honest here. To Bill Maher's point, if a lefty had been assassinated, if that had occurred, you would not have those kind of jokes. No way. Oh, God, no. That would have been considered to be way too taboo for at least a week of mourning for the nation. A week of mourning. And anyone who made any jokes would have been called out as being distasteful and would have been deplatformed and everything else. That's just the truth. That is where the Democrat Party is today. It's gone so radical that you're now in a situation where you've got a guy like Bill Maher sounding like the voice of reason. And he even said, like... And this is where I think the suburban moms come on the issue of gender and things like that. Why I think Jack Ciattarelli still has a really good chance of winning. You think about suburban moms, you think about that area, they're supposedly anti-Trump and everything else. But Democrats, again, have gone so far left on this issue. Look, here's Bill Maher from the other night calling them out on just how far left they've gone on this issue.
The basic problem we have in America is conservatives think the liberals are insane, and they're not completely wrong. Now, I don't think most liberals are insane, but neither do they make it clear they disapprove of the ones who are. And their cowardice in not marginalizing their own crazies has been their downfall. I couldn't get Neil deGrasse Tyson, a genius scientist and preeminent scientific voice in the media, to agree that it was ridiculous for Scientific American and The Atlantic to be claiming that separating sports by sex doesn't make sense. Yes, it does. Actually, it makes perfect sense. And it's obvious that it does. And there's a lot of stuff like that on the left. And when conservatives see it, they say, I'm sorry, we're just not going to go along with reinventing society, often pointlessly, even if we have to cancel democracy to do it. That's what they're saying. They see gender is only a construct and sex is assigned at birth. And they say, we're not doing that. Transing kids by self-diagnosis with no age limit, no parental notification, and no acknowledgement of social contagion, not doing it. Asylum now covers any reason for anyone to come to America, not doing it. Homelessness is a lifestyle. Natural immunity doesn't count anymore. Whiteness is toxic. Penis is in women's prisons. Welcoming the intifada. We're not doing it. And so, folks... If we are ever going to get back to the old America, that's got to be the Democrats' part of the bargain. Stop coming up with radically new and often terrible ideas, and then in the next breath, insist there be no debate about any of it. That if you don't see it right away and go along.
But that's it. That's this, though. The Democrats are too worried about their crazy left base coming against them for them to stand up to these issues like Bill Maher is saying. And that's the bottom line. And that's also the big story of the hour, brought to you by Dr. Mike Veneri of Veneri Dental. Why are you putting off getting that free implant consultation? Stop putting it off and go see Dr. Mike today for your perfect smile. V-A-N-A-R-I-A, VeneriaDental.com. Two locations to serve you in Cinnaminson and Woodbury. Dr. Mike is the man, and he'll give you a beautiful, beautiful smile. Speaking of Jack, by the way, don't forget, October 10th, this rally that we're having is shaping up to be a huge, huge deal. I retweeted a tweet earlier today from my buddy, Mike Donahue, Chairman Mike Donahue. Sorry, even as we come to the end of the show today, there's just a ton of balls in the air here today. Mike Donahue, who said this is going to be an amazing event. You have to register, though. You have to do that. So go to capegop.com. But you've got, I'm going to be going live from the show. I'm going to be doing the show live. And Jack Ciccarelli is going to be there. And Dom's going to be there. And Scott Pressler is going to be there. And it's just going to be an epic, epic, epic time. And we are going to be live, doing the show live. So if you ever wanted to see a live show, sign up today. You'll want to do it. All right? CapeGOP.com. We'll be right back. So the race for New Jersey governor and Jack Ciccarelli and Mikey Sherrill and where all that stands and why it matters and why you should care. Welcome back. Glad you're here today as we continue along in our fourth and final hour on what has been a long, long, crazy day for me, starting with a 7 o'clock pickup to go to New York and talk about all this on Fox News. But I also got into the Zoran Mamdani stuff, and he's a nut, as you know. And he's now the face of the Democrat Party because Eric Adams dropping out of the race does not change anything. It's too late. It's too late for them to try to stop Mamdani. So you see what I mean when I tell you that. And this is nothing to do with Curtis Sliwa, by the way. I mean, it really doesn't. It's the Democrats don't want Mamdani to be the face of the party, and he is. For that's it. I mean, he is. Whether or not, by the way, it's important to note, whether or not Democrats are able to stop him, it'll only be a short-term stop, because the Democrat Party now is the party of Mamdani. That's who they are. It's what they become, and they've always been that. That's the thing. They've always been the crazy party. It's just that you had a lot of very powerful forces within the Democrat Party who were able to stop them. And I mean people like the Clintons and all the other power brokers and super delegates and everybody else. They have been able to stop the Zoran Mamdanis. But go back to 2016. Bernie Sanders would have won that primary. Bernie would have won that primary had it not been for the super delegates. The superdelegates who were the ones who stopped him. And they did it again in 20, and they did it again in 2024 by making sure that Kamala Harris would be the candidate. But left to their own devices, the Democrat Party and the squad and all the lunatics and all the kooks, that's the Mamdani commie party. And their choice now is what? Between that and the LoveGov? A disgraced former governor who had to resign in shame over sex scandals that he tried to blame on his Italian heritage. A pile of bodies at nursing homes. I mean, the guy's got a kill list a mile long, like freaking Dexter. That's the choice of the Democrat Party. They're in a bad spot. They're in a really, really bad spot. On the New Jersey side of the river, Mikey Sherrill's in a bad spot. The polling that came out today, which we chatted about with Rooney earlier in the show. Here's what you got to realize right now. A couple factors that are a little bit in the weeds for a 5-minute hit on Fox. So bear with me as I give you my decades-long experience in New Jersey politics. When I tell you that Jack Cittarelli has such a good chance of winning this race, it's not just because of the fact that Mikey Sherrill is a bad candidate. It's that the Democrat machine doesn't want her. The Democrat machine is very terrified that they can't control her. And they're going to lay down. And they're not going to work to get her elected. Why does that matter? Well, it matters because without the Democrat machine, she can't win. The Democrat machine in New Jersey politics is everything. And the Democrat machine in New Jersey politics is the reason why Chris Christie won in 2009. I mean, don't get me wrong. He was a strong candidate. He was a former United States attorney. He was a strong candidate. He had a lot going for him. But the Democrat machine laid down for John Corzine. They didn't want John Corzine to be reelected as governor. And Chris Christie and the Democrat machine worked together and he got elected. It's certain factors have to occur in Jersey politics in order for that to happen. And the Democrats are not excited about Mikey Sherrill. They don't like Mikey Sherrill. And this scandal around the Navy. And let's understand this, because I think there's a lot of confusion about this. And this is what I tried to explain today when I was on America's Newsroom. So there was this file that was leaked about her Navy service. And I think, honestly, it was done by somebody who supports Mikey Sherrill to try to muddy the waters. I really do. It has the story, the scandal around her has nothing to do with that. Nothing to do with her Navy service, even exaggerating what rank of lieutenant and all that. That's neither here nor there. This is all about the time that she was an undergraduate at the United States Naval Academy in Annapolis. There is an academic file. There is a disciplinary file that has not been released. And the only person who can release it is Mikey Sherrill. So why isn't she? What is she hiding? That's the question. That's the question that we all have to ask ourselves. What is Mikey Sherrill hiding? Why not just release the records? There was this engineering exam that went out at the university, and somebody got it, and somebody leaked it. And her story originally was, I didn't want to be a snitch. Okay. And you know the joke, it's Jersey. Nobody likes snitches anyway. Maybe that'll help you. That's a funny joke. Good joke. But then the story changed. She actually should have stuck with that story. I just didn't want to snitch on my fellow classmates. I don't want to be a rat. All right, violate the Naval Academy code, but whatever. You don't want to be a rat. Okay. Story changed over the weekend. It then became that Mikey Sherrill may have gotten this exam and may have gotten this exam because she thought it was a practice exam and didn't know it was the real exam. So then release your academic records, show you were never disciplined, show you're not a cheater, show you're not a liar. But the fact that her story is changing already in a matter of days tells you everything you need to know. The problem with the argument of I don't want to be a rat is that, all right, well, will you rat on your fellow Democrats? I mean, if your fellow Democrats are cheating and stealing and lying, will you rat on them or no? And then if it's not that you weren't trying to be a rat, if you were avoiding being a rat, so to speak, and you may have accidentally got a test that was the real test that you didn't know was the real test or whatever this BS argument story is here, what does that say about your judgment? And did you cop clean? Did you come clean and admit that? Is that why they didn't let you walk at the Naval Academy? Or were you caught? Were you caught cheating? Did you cheat? What is your husband's role in all this? And why did you let you, why did you appoint, you as a congresswoman, appoint your two kids, give them the nominations to the service academies when all these other kids out there, well-deserving students, would love to go to the United States Naval Academy or the other service academies, and you use your congressional ability to get your own kids in, saving your family hundreds of thousands of dollars a year, potentially in college, or hundreds of thousands of dollars overall in college, giving your kids an incredible leg up in life. I mean, all of these things stink to high heaven. And they say something about Mikey Sherrill that is the kind of thing that makes me feel like we have a real character problem here. Somebody that we should be very, very nervous about. And that's the reality. That's what I, when I tell you that that is for me, the biggest thing is that, that people have to seriously question her character and her ethics at a time when, yes, it does matter. It does matter, your ethics. You know, Dana asked me today what the biggest issue is, and I said, well, affordable housing, and then I got into the energy stuff. What about character and ethics? If I had had more time, I would have dug in on this. What about character and ethics? Well, got to realize this. People may think all politicians are crooks or corrupt or whatever it is, and that's, but when it seems to benefit and enrich them is when other people turn around and go, oh, no, not, you're not doing this at the expense of me. So then you add to the fact that the Democrat candidate for governor of New Jersey also made millions of dollars sitting on these committees and then trading stocks on those committees. And I think the character and the integrity and all those other issues absolutely 100% matter. No question about it. Now, let's contrast that with the rhetoric the Democrats are using right now. So you know that, for example, John Fetterman came out and said, we got to stop with the calling each other Nazis and everything else like this. We got to stop with the rhetoric. It has to stop. The Nazis and all the other things, and enough is enough. Okay. What did Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Sandy from the Bronx, what did Sandy from the Bronx have to say about that? You know what she said about that? She said, John Fetterman, that's up to him. He's entitled to his opinion. So he comes out and says Democrats shouldn't call each other Nazis, and she says he's entitled to his opinion. That's where the Democrat Party is right now. Is there even a way for them to break out and be reasonable? For any of them to break out, be seen as reasonable people in this era? I don't think so. I don't think so at all. I think the problem you have is that you've got a Democrat Party that has been hijacked by lunatics. And even if you try to stand up to that, even if you try to move away from that, other Democrats will then turn around and come at you. That's it. That's it in a nutshell. Even if you're a Democrat trying to be reasonable, like John Fetterman is, and saying we can't use this rhetoric, we got to stop this, it has to stop, then other Democrats will come after you, and then you will be, you'll be ostracized by them. You want to know who the Democrat Party is today? It's Larry Krasner. The Surge Philly video, which we talked about earlier in the show, and when this guy, Larry Krasner, the district attorney of Philadelphia, has the audacity to keep calling us fascists and Nazis and invoking Hitler, this is your party. Mikey Sherrill's got to break away from that, but I don't think she can. That's why she didn't say anything to condemn Zoran Mandami. She needs the votes of all those Democrat kooks. There are not enough reasonable Democrats out there to make up the gap. There just aren't. Mandami is about to become the face of the Democrat Party. So if you are running in a primary and you're worried running for Congress and you're worried about a primary, you got to go to your left. You got to embrace this guy. And if you're worried about a general election, then you got to go against him. But that's only if you're in a really close general and you don't have to worry about a primary, because otherwise you're going to get attacked on your left flank. You want to know who the Democrat Party is? It's this guy. It's Larry Krasner.
I'll tell you what, Frank,
Larry Krasner.
Just keep lying. Frank, just keep lying. Oh, my. I touched your camera.
Donald Trump is a fascist.
How is Donald Trump a fascist?
Frank?
How is Donald Trump a fascist?
Frank? Did I ask you to come over and bother me when I'm sitting here drinking coffee in a park? Did I ask you to do that?
You're on public property, brother.
Oh, is that your theory?
Yes.
Frank? You're un-American, Frank.
I'm un-American.
You're anti-American.
I'm a resident of this city who cares about public safety. Why are you calling me un-American?
Because you support people who support hate. You don't understand what it means to be a fascist, what people like Adolf Hitler do, how spreading hate, which is something that, frankly, the people you admire do, gets us closer to that. This is about you.
How can you say that about
ego.
Me? Why don't you have a conversation about these things with Frank. Me? Why are you accusing me?
The reason I would talk to a 22-year-old who disrupts meetings.
Oh, so I'm to the, too young now.
The reason I would talk to a 22-year-old who knows nothing he's talking about meetings is what, Frank? You are welcome to write whatever you want in your non-existent fake paper. You're welcome to do that.
We have more views than your TikTok. We get more views than you.
I mean, that's not true either.
Your one video that's true.
That's not even remotely true.
Your
but
one
Frank,
video,
I'll tell you what. Frank, just keep lying. Frank, just keep lying. Oh, my. I touched your camera. I'll tell you what. Why don't you let the good people of Philadelphia have meetings where you behave yourself.
Why don't you invite
the good
people of Philadelphia?
We let you in. You're actually not allowed to do this without my permission. This is the second time. I'm not going to do anything about it because I figure there's hope for even you. People deserve a second chance. No matter how un-American you are, anti-American you are, I figure you deserve a second chance.
And you're a public official. Somebody should hold you accountable, which I'm doing.
By the way, why can't you talk to... Why is it illegal to confront Larry Krasner? He's not going to do anything about anything. He doesn't do anything about crime anyway, but why is it illegal to confront a public official in a public place and have a conversation with him? You're fascists, you're Nazis, you Adolf Hitler. This is who they are. This is who they are today. So you sit here and you go to your... You say to yourself, are there reasonable Democrats left? No. No, there are not reasonable Democrats left. There are not any reasonable Democrats left. The party has been completely hijacked. The state of the left today, completely hijacked.
I want to talk about their politics. Would it kill somebody to get up there, not give a speech about how much they like Charlie Kirk, just to say we had a political assassination this week, and that's wrong, and they would have been booed off the stage because he was on the wrong team. So you're not even allowed to say that. Can you imagine if a left-wing person was assassinated that week? The whole show would have been about that. Is that not just true? Can't you admit that?
I think that Charlie Kirk assassination needs to be reframed as an issue of how our democracy actually functions and survives. We cannot be assassinating people who are different from us, who believe different things, full stop. Charlie Kirk's assassination is as bad for Democrats as it should be as it is for Republicans. It is not okay. Right. Okay?
Yeah.
And like everybody needs to get on that same page.
At the Emmys, would it have killed?
But his point is the Emmys didn't even acknowledge it. They didn't even acknowledge it. And that's Alex Wagner from the Pod Save America. I think how quickly were jokes made about the Charlie Kirk assassination? Just even around it. How quickly were jokes made? Within a day. Within a day, there were jokes made around the Charlie Kirk assassination. Let's just be very honest here. To Bill Maher's point, if a lefty had been assassinated, if that had occurred, you would not have those kind of jokes. No way. Oh, God, no. That would have been considered to be way too taboo for at least a week of mourning for the nation. A week of mourning. And anyone who made any jokes would have been called out as being distasteful and would have been deplatformed and everything else. I mean, that's just the truth. That is where the Democrat Party is today. It's gone so radical that you're now in a situation where you've got a guy like Bill Maher sounding like the voice of reason. And he even said, like, and this is where I think the suburban moms come on the issue of gender and things like that. Why I think Jack Ciattarelli still has a really good chance of winning. You think about suburban moms, you think about that area, they're supposedly anti-Trump and everything else. But Democrats, again, have gone so far left on this issue. Look, here's Bill Maher from the other night calling them out on just how far left they've gone on this issue.
The basic problem we have in America is conservatives think the liberals are insane, and they're not completely wrong. Now, I don't think most liberals are insane, but neither do they make it clear they disapprove of the ones who are. And their cowardice in not marginalizing their own crazies has been their downfall. I couldn't get Neil deGrasse Tyson, a genius scientist and preeminent scientific voice in the media, to agree that it was ridiculous for Scientific American and The Atlantic to be claiming that separating sports by sex doesn't make sense. Yes, it does. Actually, it makes perfect sense. And it's obvious that it does. And there's a lot of stuff like that on the left. And when conservatives see it, they say, I'm sorry, we're just not going to go along with reinventing society, often pointlessly, even if we have to cancel democracy to do it. That's what they're saying. They see gender is only a construct and sex is assigned at birth. And they say, we're not doing that. Transing kids by self-diagnosis with no age limit, no parental notification, and no acknowledgement of social contagion, not doing it. Asylum now covers any reason for anyone to come to America, not doing it. Homelessness is a lifestyle. Natural immunity doesn't count anymore. Whiteness is toxic. Penis is in women's prisons. Welcoming the intifada. We're not doing it. And so, folks... If we are ever going to get back to the old America, that's got to be the Democrats' part of the bargain. Stop coming up with radically new and often terrible ideas, and then in the next breath, insist there be no debate about any of it. That if you don't see it right away and go along.
But that's it. That's this, though. The Democrats are too worried about their crazy left base coming against them for them to stand up to these issues like Bill Maher is saying. And that's the bottom line. And that's also the big story of the hour brought to you by Dr. Mike Veneri of Veneria Dental. Why are you putting off getting that free implant consultation? Stop putting it off and go see Dr. Mike today for your perfect smile. V-A-N-A-R-I-A, VeneriaDental.com. Two locations to serve you in Cinnaminson and Woodbury. Dr. Mike is the man, and he'll give you a beautiful, beautiful smile. Speaking of Jack, by the way, don't forget, October 10th, this rally that we're having is shaping up to be a huge, huge deal. I retweeted a tweet earlier today from my buddy, Mike Donahue, Chairman Mike Donahue. Sorry, even as we come to the end of the show today, there's just a ton of balls in the air here today. Mike Donahue, who said this is going to be an amazing event. You have to register, though. You have to do that. So go to capegop.com. But you've got, I'm going to be going live from the show. I'm going to be doing the show live. And Jack Ciattarelli is going to be there. And Dom's going to be there. And Scott Pressler is going to be there. And it's just going to be an epic, epic, epic time. And we are going to be live, doing the show live. So if you ever wanted to see a live show, sign up today. You'll want to do it. All right? CapeGOP.com. We'll be right back.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.